May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 274. 274. The Lord in Zion reigns and will his people keep. 'Tis he the universe sustains and well secures his sheep. Hymn 274.
Present before God, may we be in solemn acknowledgement of that. Let us read in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. Of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee." Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and their friends and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come in unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God, thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did in the land of the Jews, and in Jerusalem, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. then pray thy him to tarry certain days. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us each. And to friends that may be listening in, oh, may we be favoured now. That God may give us a breath of real prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God Almighty, thou seest us gathered here. We trust it is by thy divine appointment we are gathered here. You know, as we especially felt it very profound, our dear friend prayed with us in the vestry. And Lord, oh, we do beg, Lord, thou wilt come among us, to be among us, to work. You know, as he prayed, saying that thou wouldst do a mighty work among us today. Lord, thou knowest we do desire this, and especially with that we carry of exercise for thy honour and glory and the good of precious soul. Oh, Lord, do so help a poor one to preach the gospel here today. Thou knowest, Lord, how thou hast led us to this part of thy word we've just read. Lord, how profound it is, how thou dost give to thy servants the words to preach. And we do have some sweet confidence, though we would not be in any way presumptuous, Lord. We pray we may be saved from any sin of that kind. But Lord, do give us to feel the wonderful leading and teaching of the Spirit here today, Lord. And oh, bless thy word, Lord. Oh, do that mighty work here today, Lord. Oh, in some precious soul or souls, Lord, here. Lord, we do pray we may be favoured to be under the blessedness of the benefits of the gospel here today. And we may, Lord, be in that exercise one was led to pen in that way. Oh, if the benefits are ours, be all the glory thine. We do seek thy honour and glory, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name. Oh, we would give glory. Oh, thou hast made us zealous for thy glory, Lord. We do pray we may be true in this, in the way of the exercise of the Spirit in us and among us here today. Come, Lord, and see thy blessing to each one gathered. And as we pray for each one gathered, we are mindful of friends seeking rest and change away on holiday. It may be some of them may be even listening in on online means to this service, Lord. You know, as we do pray for them, believing that where'er thy people seek thee, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. So, Lord, do bless them. Bless them in seeking rest and change, Lord. Oh, the families, Lord. Oh, bless them, keep them. Keep them safe, Lord, and help them, even day by day, to be acknowledging, Lord, thy favour, thy love and presence. Lord, do so. Bless them with benefits for body, mind and soul, Lord. And Lord, oh, friends here who are truly of those we've read of the quick, oh, may we give glory to thee and worship today. But Lord, oh, as there may be those that are still dead, oh, Lord, quicken them, quicken souls, Lord, and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. May we each of this congregation that are of any age and understanding naturally, may we be led into spiritual understanding, spiritual need. Oh, those of us who do feel it, Lord, do come to us and supply our need, even spiritually, Lord, for the good of our souls. But Lord, if any are still in the darkness of nature, do quicken them, Lord. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. We do pray thy work may yet appear here, Lord. Thou knowest the earnestness we felt in sweet union with our brother, Lord, as he was praying. I believe truly earnestly for the good of souls here and for thy honour and glory. And Lord, thou knowest too, we're especially mindful to remember our dear beloved friend and brother, the dear deacon who is in affliction, dear Benji, our friend, who knoweth how it has come. We know thy word, and in the way it is so set and recorded in Job, Lord, it causes it to come. And we know, Lord, in our dear brother's case, it will be proved for mercy, for he is truly one of thy dear sons. Oh, blessed are the sons of God. They are washed in Jesus' blood. Oh, Lord, we know he is. Bless him today, Lord. Bless him in his soul. Bless him with thy presence. Oh, may he know the comfort of thy love, the favour, though he feels pain, Lord. May he meditate upon thee and thy sufferings. We know this is a wonderful way to escape, that thy people may be able to bear all what is their lot to bear. So, Lord, bless our friend, Lord. And, Lord, any others in affliction, Lord, thou knowest those we think of, any of this people, Lord, there may be, and friends too that we are mindful of to remember and pray for, of the churches, Lord, that we know and love, of our beloved group of churches. And Lord, we're also mindful and to pray and acknowledge, Lord, thou hast thy people throughout the world, and many are under very trying circumstances and pathways they have to tread. Lord, thou knowest them. Thou knowest all thy people, all thy sheep. Lord, we pray for them, all those who know thee and love thee, Lord. And yet too, Lord, all thy dead elect are all known to thee. And so, Lord, as we in concern praying for any friends here still in the darkness of nature, we know there are many yet to be killed by sovereign grace. Oh, Lord, do work. Quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Do let thy work appear, Lord, in the whole world. All those countries that are under war, we especially think of any of thy people there. Oh, be with them, help them, Lord, we believe they will. And Lord, how we know that thou didst so exhort in thy holy ministry, that thy people should not fear those that kill the body. We cannot help it by nature, Lord, but by grace favoured with light and hope and prospect, Lord, in the way of thy wonderful favour, thy salvation, Lord, thy people are safe. Safe, Lord, secure from all harms. Oh, if the body, those that kill the body, Lord, there is no more that they can do. They cannot touch the soul. Oh, thy people have eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No, we do beg thee, Lord, so assure us of this. Assure us, Lord, and come what may in our lives as we go on, all is well. Oh, may we be blessed and know 'tis well with my soul. It is well. Oh, Lord, come today and confirm thy people. Assure thy people of their part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with our hearts that we are born of God. And Lord, so help us to worship thee. You know, it's particularly, Lord, the words that just so profoundly lead us to yesterday morning. You know, knowest how it was so in the early hours of yesterday morning, we were very anxious. And thou knowest how it was that the word was given. How deep and profound it is. And Lord, following those words in that we've read, that wonderful theme, acknowledgement, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And then, Lord, we read thou didst command the people to preach. Lord, oh, thou knowest what they must preach. and who it is who commandeth his people to preach. And Lord, oh, that he, the beloved Son of God, oh, it is into his hands that all judgment is given. He shall judge the world in righteousness, be our judge, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right. And so, Lord, there is a deep solemnity upon us. Oh, we pray it may pervade, it may be so felt here today, the deep solemnity, but the holy too, the holy blessedness of the favour, if we are by grace brought to truly believe in thee, the Son of God, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and to believe in thee, thy great salvation, believe in thee, the good shepherd, who careth for his sheep, goeth before his sheep, leadeth his sheep out. Oh, Lord, thou hast too sent thy servants into the ministry, and Lord, we believe thou hast yet purpose to send forth labourers into thy harvest. Truly the harvest is plenteous, the labourers are few. Oh, we pray, we are exhorted to pray that the Lord of the harvest shall send forth more labourers into his harvest. Lord, how we sing back to that time when we came here in our early days of our ministry and spoke to the young people, and some of them what there was done in them, Lord. Yeah, there was wonderfully taught them and blessed them. Lord, we have exercised them now, we're still carrying them, and carrying them and one and another, particularly for a specific purpose, which we believe thou hast, Lord. Thou knowest all these things, Lord. Thou knowest, Lord, as one looks back to that year, that autumn time of 1987, when Mr. Simmons came over for the afternoon to Ashwell. And that was the way that thou didst bring us to an end of our exercise for the ministry, which was somewhere about 22 years. Lord, thou knowest how it is, according to thy will, with everyone, every case who must follow thee, as we read, relating to that which is thy command for thy people to follow thee, to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and Lord too, for the ministry of the word. Oh, thy call, Lord, thy call to thy people, upon thy people. Oh, Lord, let all obedient souls their grateful tribute bring, submit to Jesus' righteous rules and bow before the King. Oh, we would as soldiers, those of us who feel that was made us, acknowledge and own our captain. And domestics, the members, Lord, the family of God, serve you, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we so be led this day. Thou knowest what thou hast to do, Lord, today, here in thy house. Lord, we believe thou hast that to do. And so we pray, Lord, we may witness thy doing, oh, thy working, oh, thy blessing souls, thy doing good. Do good in thy good pleasure under Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. So, Lord, do come, Lord. Oh, we pray thus for all our friends throughout the churches that we know and love. We pray, Lord, for our own people, dear Mr. Parish, due to be among them, we trust he's there safely, though my dear one said he hadn't arrived yet. Thou knowest, Lord, oh, we pray. We have hope to hear this afternoon. And Lord, we pray thy blessing upon thy people in every hill of Zion. Oh, may the gathering of the people be unto thee, Lord. May it be blessedly so here, Lord. And so do in mercy help us, Lord. We feel so insufficient. But Lord, may we prove again. We beg for this, Lord. that our sufficiency is of thee, Lord. Oh, do cause that the blessed Holy Spirit of truth may give the poor preacher every word to speak. We do not want to speak anything of our own words, oh, but what thou dost give, Lord. So, Lord, hear us now, we beg thee, in heaven thy dwelling place. Lord, thou knowest we prayed already in our prayers, early prayers and breakfast time prayers. We've been praying. We pray for our country. We pray for those in authority over us. We pray for His Majesty the King. Thou knowest we continue in prayer in these ways day by day. So, Lord, do hear us now in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 275. 275. Let me, thou sovereign Lord of all, low at thy footstool humbly fall, and while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Hymn 275.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would seek to lead you to consider with me some words that we've read in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The two verses that I believe the Lord has led me to, friends, are the 42nd and 43rd verses. That's Acts chapter 10, verses 42 and 43. I will explain a little more as we go along. The verse 42 and 43, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It's the words quick and dead, especially, friends, that have brought me to come to this part of the Word of God. You see, I think I've told you before, but when Mr. Simmons preached at Ashwell and the word fell upon me, that Lord's Day afternoon, it come from you dear people here, to stand in for our dear pastor who was not able to preach. And he came with those words in the Acts of the Apostles where the Lord appeared to Paul in the night by vision and so on. And as he preached, he realised where the mantle was falling, he told me later. But during his discourse, the latter part of it, he was, as it were, speaking directly to me. Because he said he knew, as I said, where the mantle had fallen. And he actually said to me, he said, you'll perhaps get your text a fortnight before the service time. Or it may be a week, or it may be days. Or it may even be not until you started the service. That's how he spoke to me. But friends, come into this, the word here and how we were led to it. You see, I've talked to a number of dear friends of God's servants. Many times we have had conversation with some of God's servants, those who have been made to us as a brother in the ministry, and there are still those, and some are taken home that we've known, adding to the great cloud of witnesses we have known. But friends, you know, as we think of how we get the text, we need God to give us the text. And yesterday morning, very early, I was very anxious, feeling the great accountability and responsibility of being prepared, needing to be prepared to come to you today, you dear people who are loving in the way we're blessed to feel love to you. And you know, a minister is very anxious if he hasn't got the word given. And I was begging for it. And my wife said, we must go out and do a bit of needful shopping. And I said, well, I feel weary. I said, I will have to use a scooter. And so we went off. And we went to one of the supermarkets, and I helped with the shopping a little. And then there was one thing we couldn't get. And I said, well, I know a shop in the town I can go to. If you don't mind sitting here waiting, I'll go and get it. Off I went on a scooter. And getting to the place where it was needful to cross the road, and waiting there for the green light, there was a man and a lady stood close beside me. And I was sitting on the seat, and lay above me like, but this lady said, we are all either quick or dead. That is the word she actually said. I don't know what religion she was, or what she was. I I simply heard her say, "We are all either quick or dead." What a solemn word that she said. I hope she knew something of being quickened. I have to leave that. God is the judge. But it was profound to me, friends, that I was seeking for a text, and this lady standing right close to me said, "We're either, and we're waiting for the light to change, all of us are either quick or dead." Whether she was making some, I would not want to judge what remark it was, how she, what from her heart or spirit, but friends, they are the words. We are all either quick or dead. Now, friends, here today, at this moment, and friends listening in, we're all either quick or dead. How do you feel you are? I'm very concerned for this, of course, for myself. I hope by grace I have the witness that God quickened me into life. All that, those years back in 1958. And now I trust I can give witness of being blessed and set at gospel liberty, and had that favour 60 years ago. But friends, you know, of course, there were those years before, 6 years from when I was quickened into life and had some favour, blessing, but much solemn experience under the law of God. But then, wonderfully blessed and set at gospel liberty, 60 years ago. But oh, how we've been so changeable, prone to wander, we have felt it so much, and to come into much confession and feeling of guilt over and over again, and pleading for mercy. But friends, I hope I can witness I am among the quick. I was dead. We were all dead by nature. We were all dead in sins as we were born and come into this world, come forth from the womb speaking lies. Oh, friends, it's those God loves. He quickens. Do you feel you have witness, evidence that God loves you? Oh, the first way to really consider it, and I believe the Holy Spirit will cause each one of God's people to consider it in this way, am I quickened by His Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer. You do need to be concerned for this. If you've gone on long time unconcerned, may it be today that God makes you to be concerned. If He quickens you, you will be brought into concern, into need of salvation. He will convince of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come, friends. And so come into carefully consider these words, friends, especially the 42nd verse here. And He commanded us to preach unto the people, which I feel in very pure, friends, but I have exercised to preach to you today. And He commanded us, of course, these apostles were commanded. They were eyewitnesses of the sufferings of Christ. They were with Him, how it's testified, they were with Him in the Holy Mount. But friends, for all of us in the many years, centuries of time since, and us, the ministers, those sent forth to preach, those that shall be sent forth, those that must go forth, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is He which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. Now, of course, it really bespeaks of the judgment day. All judgment will be given, is given into the hands of God's Son. Of course, God the Father gave into His beloved Son's hands all that work and purpose of God, that He should attend to it, coming into this world, stooping down to this world. He who, though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. He came to save the church. He came to redeem the church, to bring in full salvation. He came to do all that was needed to save each one of the church, the mystical body of Christ, the children of God, the family of God, all those given to him by God the Father, he came to redeem. Do you feel, friends, you can give evidence of that favour, that you have hope? He came for you. He suffered, bled and died for you. And so as the ministers come to preach, and as we look to him to so use the preaching of the word, as we trust he gives that word to preach, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify, it is he which got, which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. He, of course, was ordained of God before the foundation of the world, friends. God will well teach his people. He will well ground his people in the truth. God will give his people to be very concerned under the exercise and teaching of the Spirit. They will ask themselves questions, ask questions to God. Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? What we have, what we must preach, friends, is there's one, only one way of salvation. It's in the person and work of the dear beloved Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, the way we preach is that wretched sinners, guilty, hell-deserving sinners, brought by the teaching of the Spirit to need Jesus. Real religion, real exercise in religion is brought by the Holy Spirit, giving the child of God to be convicted and convinced of their sin. Oh, if you're a sinner brought into concern, if you're quickened by the Spirit, if the Lord has so begun to deal with you, you will need Jesus. He won't be now. He may have been for a long time. Even maybe older ones here that have been attending the chapel all your lives, perhaps. But are you really brought to need Jesus? Is he really made precious for you? Is he your only hope? As the Spirit, is the Spirit, is it now that under the faithful ministry that you have, is it now or in recent days you've been brought to be concerned about your never-dying soul? You know how very solemn it is. The Lord in his ministry spoke of people, professing people, that are resting on a bed too short, having a covering too narrow. Oh, the real witness of them being quickened into life is not seen. And they're not really concerned about it. Oh, resting short. Oh, trust ungrounded. A natural hope. They may say, I hope so. Friends, you want more. You want a stronger, better faith than that to only just say, I hope so. You need good hope. God's people are taught by the Spirit, and God grants them good hope through grace. It's not just to just with a natural mind and words say, I hope so. If you were perhaps warned and of the importance of being prepared for eternity, for the judgment day, and if anyone said to you, do you have any sure prospect of it? And just to say, I hope so. I hope so. And if that's not really in faith, that's a bed too short, friends. It is. But friends, the way the Spirit works, he does, he will, as I've said, convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And in this preaching that hear dear Peter is acknowledging, the Holy Spirit giving him the words to acknowledge, and how in this way, in this dialogue, especially from the words preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And so, friends, how it was with these dear apostles of the Lamb, they were preaching the gospel. And as it is here acknowledged, and he commanded us to preach unto the people, Jesus Christ, when he sent them forth, he commanded them to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, really, the greatest need the child of God has when they're brought under conviction of sin. They need remission of sins. They need their sins dealt with, blotted out, put away. They need to be saved from their sins. Their sins, the sins of original sin, the sins of actual transgression, all the sins of backsliding, unbelief, all of what is in and by and from the old nature, which the child of God in the new heart and nature that God does give them, has given them at quickening. They're concerned. They're very concerned. Do you feel you can acknowledge it, that as God has given, quickened you into life and given you a new heart and nature, it is within that new heart and nature you are become, by God's grace, very concerned about what you are, where you are, who you are, how you are. Because we're sinners. And God shows us very clearly, makes it known to us. He gives us the knowledge of the holy, which we read of in the book of Proverbs. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And he gives his people the knowledge of the holy. You know and understand that nothing that you can do can save you. You must look away from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to his sacrifice, his blood, his sufferings, his death and merits. This is what you need to know your interest in. Your interest in the Saviour's blood. Their pardon signed and peace with God. This is what we need, friends. And this is what is preached in the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, God anointing his servants to preach Christ crucified. We think of there the Apostle Paul writing, I think it's to the Galatians, he says, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but to unto us who are saved, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, are you saved, friends? Are you quick, made alive spiritually? Are you saved? Are you in the favour of an interest in God's great salvation? Has the Spirit been working in you? Even to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Think of this. You see, what was ordained, as we would look more at this 42nd verse, he commanded us to preach, us. And I believe it's us here, friends. I believe God's got those he must send forth. Yeah. And so I can feel this us. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Notice, he was ordained of God. You see, in the covenant of grace, in the counsels of Jehovah before the world was created, God, Jehovah, the eternal, ever-living God, entered into covenant twixt Father, Son and Holy Ghost. And the covenant was, of course, based upon God's profound, stupendous choice of his people. He chose a people for his praise. Before creation, before there was man on the earth, before the earth was created, where the Maker lived alone in that existing state forever, the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, and God the Father with the dear blessed Son of God and the Holy Spirit entered into covenant. And it is stated here in this way, was ordained of God, the Son of God was, the agreement in covenant, the perfect purpose of God, that for those who should be born and born again and to be saved by grace, and God would have them for his praise in heaven forever, the whole number of the family of God, children of God who are to be brought by grace to be joint heirs with Christ, favoured in time, but this is before the world, friends. And so it's acknowledged. This preaching must be preached. Preach unto the people and testify that is he, that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead, he, the Son of God. So as we think of this, the perfect agreement in the covenant of grace betwixt the Trinity of persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But of course also upon the fact that God Jehovah chose his people. He chose his people, chosen of him ere time began. God's people are. And what a concern it is. I remember when I was first brought under conviction of sin, when the Lord had so directed his servant to speak to me outside Sayville Chapel in 1958, in those days following, when we were so brought to be so solemnly concerned. Am I one that God loves? I'm such a sinner. I'm in a hopeless state. And we couldn't pray. We were just under conviction for some long months. But then, raised to a hope, with the words of the hymn writer, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Are you one of these vile sinners? Out of hell, still in the body, not in hell yet. You deserve it. I deserve it. We all deserve it. But friends, have you been raised to a hope? And is it then your concern to know? To pray, to seek to know and taste the love of God. The question will be in those God quickens. Does God love me? He loves his people with an everlasting love. My mother used to make testimony of him. The words that she was so blessed under. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I used to think, hearing her say that, I wonder if God loves me. And then it became very earnest in one. We had to cry for mercy. We had to cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner, the sinner. And in time, the Lord, in great love and mercy, favoured me to believe. Some tokens of his love, one under the ministry of the late Mr. Collier. Those words in Job 23, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then further favours of sweet, blessed tokens, a word of promise. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. And so, friends, I just say those things, not wanting to advertise too much of my own, but the reality of being brought into real concern and real need of salvation, under conviction of sin. Convinced sinners need salvation. They know they cannot in any way redeem themselves or save themselves. we read in, I think it's Psalm 49, I think it is, none can redeem a brother or a sister, we can't redeem ourselves. But friends, oh, how the Lord leads his people into the wonderful favours of that wonderful redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And what we have here is it's stated, redemption and remission are the same, really. Oh, the way God absolves his people from all their debt of sin. He grants remission. He grants forgiveness. He grants pardon. And this is what God's people will be brought by the Spirit to really need. To need salvation, to need to be saved. Saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. Can't get away from these words, friends, although, of course, the word we were led to, it was those words, quick and dead. But, friends, in the context of this verse and all what it means, oh, how it is here so clear, and he commanded us. This is what the dear apostles of the Lamb, Peter was acknowledging, he and the others who preach Christ crucified, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, and he commanded us. We know there are the records of how the Lord spoke to them after the resurrection and before his ascension. He sent them forth to preach the word, and how he commanded them to preach in his name before all nations. And friends, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, the Son of God, he, Jesus Christ, who is, who was ordained of God, and that was in the covenant, that was in the counsels of Jehovah, to be judge of quick and dead. Friends, I feel we should come closer in considering and solemnly speaking in a way as God may give the words to one. We've not got a stock in hand, friends, but oh, as God may help one to speak to you, preach to you, especially in this great concern that God will bring his servants to have. You see, God's servants, if they're truly anointed, as each one will be, they will have burden for souls. Oh, our great burden is, them knoweth, the Lord knows, I say to him, thou knowest, Lord, my great burden. Thou hast given us it, given it, laid it upon me. We have it regarding our own family. We have it regarding many in the families of the people of God, the children and boys and girls and so many souls that as we come to know, have known and been brought to know up and down across the land, and it may be in a particular way, as I have had it in some measure and others have, young people, much laid upon us to be burdened for, as well, of course, as one knows solemnly, the old ones, and I say this faithfully and in love. There might be some of you older ones here, you've only been here coming in and out the doors for many, many years. And can it, will it be said to you, will the Saviour, the Judge, he who is Judge of quick and dead, at the Judgment Day, will he say to you, I never knew you? What a solemn thing to have many, many years attending the means of grace and to be lost at last, cast away at last. I'm saying these things not in unkindness, friends, but I hope in true kindness. You see, there's such a danger of it. Oh, when we're dead, we can't do anything for ourselves. Oh, you can't make yourself alive. And oh, is it with you? You're going on in a way. Not alive. You're not concerned about it. Oh, if it is, may my words or others' words and others that may preach here yet, oh, may their words be used of God to stir you up that make you really concerned, that really need salvation, to be convicted, convinced as a sinner, fall before God in confession and sin, and, oh, God giving you then repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way of salvation is that way, that is the work of the Spirit in sinners. And so, friends, oh, are we quick or dead? You see, it's put this way round, but it is not that you are alive and then dead. Actually, formally and in the way of God working, but there are ways in which, in the experience of God's people, you see, I believe God, he sees all those he loved in their state, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. He knows everything about them. They're born, they're naturally generated as God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and they're born alive, but they're dead spiritually. But when God quickens a soul into life whom he set his love upon, they're made spiritually alive. But as God goes on to teach them, he may kill them under his law. It's a vast difference of being dead in trespasses and sins in unregenerate state to being quickened into life and then killed under the law. Oh, that soul who's killed under the law is still alive spiritually. You might be one of these who was dead, but you quickened into life, and now God's been dealing with you deeply, solemnly, killed you under his law. What does that mean? Killed you to all hope in anything or any person or anything apart from Jesus Christ. For God's purpose, even for those who are killed under his law, in his time, is to bless them with the favour of being raised to wonderful life in the experience of it, to be made wonderfully alive and blessed. He kills, he makes alive those he's already quickened. He kills and he makes them alive. He brings them to be lost and that they may be found. Lost souls to recover and form them afresh. A wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh. From sin to release us, that yoke so long worn, the Lord, the Saviour, was born. Yes, it's looking unto Jesus. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's salvation by grace. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, friends, if you are a convicted and convinced sinner, I believe that's what you need. You need remission of sins. You need to know your sins are put away by the blood of Christ. You plead it, God gives you prayer, you plead. Oh, you beg the Lord for mercy. Oh, mercy through blood I make my plea. Oh, God, be merciful to me. And the preaching of that way of redemption, that way of pardon, that way sinners receive remission of sins, is such a wonderful ministry to those who are well taught sins demerit. They are all taught sins demerit, and will gladly earn salvation free and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. And Jesus Christ becomes exceedingly precious to everyone that God has quickened into newness of life. In God's time, as he goes on to work in those he's quickened, he makes them to really feel their need of salvation. And Christ becomes exceedingly precious. This is the way, friends, you can test the reality of your case, the reality of your exercise. Oh, if I may put it in love to you, in faithfulness to you, let me ask you the important question, what think you of Christ? Is he precious? Is he most needful? Is he the one thing needful? Oh, has the Lord in some measure revealed him to you? Have you had tokens, like I made acknowledgement of those tokens one had? Then it was in that year, 1964, when we were favoured with the blessing of pardon and brought into the liberty of the gospel. But we were very changeable in the years following. Oh, and I felt it so much over the years, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Oh, Lord, I plead that, oh, Lord, do keep me, do help me, do renew those former favours. Some of you here may be in that, needing the Lord to renew the former favours you have known. Friends, in this way, as these apostles went on preaching, and every minister must preach, every God-sent minister must preach these things to, in this way, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, his name. Oh, his name as Jesus suits us well. He saves from sin, wrath, law and hell, from guilt and slavish fear. A name just suited to our case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. Oh, everything in Christ, in him and in his holy name, all what he's done. Oh, how he has come to this earth and suffered the just for the unjust. Took all our transgressions, friends, and made them his own. Oh, precious Jesus, friend of sinners. Oh, what a friend he is. What a friend we have in Jesus. Young people, little ones in the families. What a friend we have in Jesus. If the Lord, and friends, I know, the Lord can begin to work in a young soul very early in their lives. Yes, godly deacon who we knew and loved in the north, he testified how the Lord began with him when he was very young, and how wonderfully he was taught and well grounded in the faith, and God then took him home. Mr. Ramsbottom buried him, and we went up and attended a funeral, felt we should do. He was such a dear brother beloved. And friends, the way of God thus, he makes a sinner need salvation, convinces them of their sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And it will be, it is, it's made to be, a very solemn consideration. How will I be at the judgment day? How will I be? How will they do in the swellings of Jordan, going through the river of death? The death that thou wilt die, that I will die. A late friend, Mr. Warboys, expressed to me several times he was so very concerned the death he would die. Oh, we were very close in those last few years. He having been in God's hand the means of speaking, preaching at Ashwell in the July before I was to be sent out the next October. But oh, friends, how he preached. And it may be a word for one here this morning. Let the dead bury their dead. But go there and preach the kingdom of God. Friends, oh, that was the word. And I carried it through that year until the autumn of the next year. And friends, then, as I've said, Mr. Simmons came over to us. Oh, how God works, friends. Oh, how God works, God Jehovah, by the Spirit, and how it is all as relating to those that God set his love upon, and those who shall be brought to be, and in time known, the favour being made heirs of salvation. those who are brought to know and taste redeeming love in God's time. Oh, how they shall be blessed. And in this way to him gave all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Amen.
There will be no Sunday school today, and not until Sunday the 1st of September, as we take a holiday break. The collections today are for Christian Concern. God willing, our friend Mr. Chapman will preach to us again on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be reading services. Our closing hymn is number 392. 392. How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Hymn 392.
Dear Lord, do bless thy word. Although poor, we preach it, Lord, but do bless it to the dear friends, our dear friends' souls, Lord, bless them. And so, Lord, help us as we go on in the way. Lead us, Lord, in the way everlasting. Forgive anything amiss, Lord, we beg. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.